Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual is back at you again. Your favorite fanboy service episode? Podcast?
He's just naming random words.
It is random words. Today we're going to be talking about something interesting, I hope.
It will be. It was trending everywhere.
Well, the reason why I say this is it's going to be one of those episodes again where, as usual, there's two fanboys and then one casual, and I am the filthy casual today. So, Lewis, we're going to throw it to you because I should not be doing this episode.
All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about WrestleMania. Wrestling Mania. WrestleMania 35, correct?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does it have X's and V's?
We're not getting a Roman numeral. No. I stopped at 5.
There was an L somewhere?
There was Rocky V. After Rocky V, I stopped counting. WrestleMania 35 just passed. Harold and I took time off on a Sunday and actually watched all 17 hours of the dang thing. I'll go back.
How long?
It was only really officially 5 hours.
Technically seven and a half hours.
Yeah, but I do remember we hung out at around 1 o'clock. The event started.
Yeah.
We came home and like at 10 o'clock it was still going. Yeah. It was a lot of wrestling.
You also have to take into account that the whole weekend is just wrestling.
Oh, that's true.
So it's like, at least for us, on Friday we were watching the other show, the NXT show, TakeOver.
Yeah.
So that was 3 hours.
Yeah. And then Saturday night was the annual Hall of Fame event where, that was another 2 hours. Where
Bret Hart got attacked.
Yeah, where...
That was awesome.
Yeah. So if you guys haven't seen it, it's gone viral. Bret Hart was attacked, tackled by some nutcase fan, quote unquote.
By the way, when I saw that video, I was like, wait, is that Ric Flair? Oh, no, wait. That's Bret Hart.
I think my favorite part, though, is after they tackled the dude... Like, the actual wrestlers, like, just went to town on the guy. It's like shaky cam or, somebody's camera
phone.
It's
like a fan camera.
Yeah, fan camera. And like, these wrestlers, these 300-pound dudes full of muscle just, like, wailing on the guy. It's like, wow. It's like, oh.
No, there's a video of it where as they're leaving and they're carrying the guy out, there's some random... He looks like... He's wearing a suit, so maybe he's like a wrestler. But he just comes out and kicks the guy, and then he walks away.
Nobody stops him because it's like, I guess it is an unwritten rule. Like if you cross the lines, if you get in the ring with these wrestlers who are putting their life on the line, you're gonna get whooped.
Yeah.
So NXT on Friday, Hall of Fame on Saturday, and then like I premised, 6+ hours of wrestling on Sunday for WrestleMania itself. So like. A lot of the other stuff that we've reviewed, I think we're going to pull off a lose views. There you go. So I'm going to just run down.
Lose views.
So you can't have, six hours of wrestling with just a couple matches. There were almost a record 15 matches, I believe, for that day. Yeah, Harold's like.
So wait, I kind of wanted to ask you, this is not normal, right? This is something that, is there a reason why it was this long?
The past couple of years, they've been trying to push like the whole WrestleMania as a whole day event. They're really not taking into account like fans losing their energy by the first 2 hours and everything.
Yeah,
like, they want to make it like their basic church service that goes on the whole day.
Like I would hate to be. Well, I guess I wouldn't say I would hate it, but it would be interesting if you were one of the people there at the arena where you have to be sitting there for like 6-7 hours,
right? Or
longer, because you'd still have like. I wonder if they still have like the preview matches and all those things.
Yeah, there was. At least for them, they had a couple of preview matches that were on the network that technically weren't on the main card. So, and those matches were super long. Cause like, whenever we were watching it, one of them was the, women's battle royal. And that was a thing.
Yeah.
It was like another good 10 minutes. And you gotta take into account, it's like just 2 hours of pre-show.
Yeah. Quote unquote pre-show, but it's all the same thing. And like what Harold said, like when we were growing up, WrestleMania was like 2 hours, you know.
At least for me, 3 to 4 hours.
For me, yeah. Growing up, it could fit into one Betamax, which is about a movie length. But yeah, nowadays, ever since WWE has switched over to the streaming format with their streaming service, I think, yeah, like Harold said, they're just like, we're just going to throw as much content out there, and you just kind of, you know, watch as much as you can. So yeah, like Harold said, there was a pre-show. We had two battle royales, specifically a men's. I'm sorry, men's Andre the Giant Memorial. Yeah. There were two, yeah. So we saw the women's Battle Royale, a tag team match, and then the men's Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, which Braun Strowman won. So all these names are going to shout out. Harold Dennis already looking at me like, who? So Braun Strowman, who is the newest giant for WWE. Almost.
Oh, wait, is he one of the world's strongest? Like, he does that competition?
Sometimes,
yeah, I think unofficially, but yeah, not you know. Yeah,
no, I've seen him. I've seen his name. He's one of those competitors.
Yeah. Okay, yeah,
the one where they carry like those humongous balls, yeah. And then afterwards they carry those weights,
those Atlas stones.
And then, okay, no, go ahead.
Yes, they just carry Tony Atlas stones. All right, so we'll go right into the main card real quick. So the first match started off with Seth Rollins defeating Brock Lesnar. So I think that's it for Brock Lesnar unofficially. So Seth Rollins, your new Universal Champion. The next match was AJ Styles versus Randy Orton, which was, okay. Actually, what we'll do is I'm going to go through the card, and then Harold and I will talk about it. Dennis is going to jump in and tell us what the heck is going on.
Anecdotes.
Yeah, on the side.
I'll be Jerry Lawler.
He's still alive.
Yes, he is.
Puppies! Okay, so the Usos defeated The Bar, Rusev and Nakamura, and Ricochet and Aleister Black. Falls Count Anywhere, Shane McMahon defeated The Miz.
I know Shane McMahon.
You know Shane McMahon, all right. Okay, Women's Tag Team Champions, the Iconics defeated the Boston Hug Connection, Nia Jax and Tamina, and the team of Beth Phoenix and Natalya. All right, after that, Kofi Kingston.
I love the fact that it sounded like you were done, but you were just ready to take a breath.
All right, the 10th match of the night was Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan, and Kofi Kingston wins the big one, WWE Championship. The next one after that was Samoa Joe defeating Rey Mysterio.
I know him.
Yeah, you know him. All right, there you go. Roman Reigns defeated Drew McIntyre.
And cancer.
And leukemia, so good on you, Roman Reigns.
It was a three-way match?
It's a triple threat.
Or a two-on-one, I guess.
It was a handicap match. Get it,
handicap.
Oh, no.
All right, so the match after that was a no-holds-barred match for Triple H's career. It was Triple H versus Batista. Triple H
Wait,
came out
you
of say
for his career?
Yes, yeah. Even though... Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next one, I think...
Which, by the way, I know that. I know Triple H, guys. And I know the actor.
Yes.
Yes. You don't know the wrestler.
I know the guy, Jax.
I know the actor.
No, I knew him when he was to like hang out with Randy Orton.
There you go. All right, the next one's going to kill Dennis a little bit, but Baron Corbin defeated Kurt Angle to retire Kurt Angle, basically. So, I don't know if
you... Don't worry, I'm okay with it.
Okay, you're okay.
10 years ago?
I would have been like, no!
That's like, huh?
Like, yeah. Hey, Kurt Angle was a manager, right?
He's still around, huh? Yeah. All right, that's the thing. All right, then the second to last match was Damon. Wow. Finn Balor defeating Bobby Lashley. And the big main event, the final match of the night, finally, was...
I love the fact that he said the last match like 3 times already.
I know. The last match was Becky Lynch defeating Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair to be unified women's champion for the WWE. Whew. All right. So, like I said, a handful of matches, a lot of...
Handful? What kind of...
Yeah, I know. You got big old under the giant hands.
I don't know if Lewis's hands is big, but a little hefty. Hefty.
You see his hands are hefty?
Yes. Have you seen those fingers?
Come on, man. Stay on track.
It looks like 5 Dachshunds like running after you.
Wow.
That's how you pronounce it, right?
Yes.
It's close, it's close.
Like you dug into a container of Vienna sausages and just pulled it out.
And going to Pink's and grabbing a bunch of wieners. Like, ah.
And then green hot dogs.
Yes. All right. So, like Dennis said earlier, Harold and I watched the whole pay-per-view. He did not. So
actually, no. I said Huh?
That's what I said earlier. Then yesterday said, WrestleMania's going on?
What's a WrestleMania? WrestleMania. Wow. All right, so Harold, we'll go right into the review. What did you like about it? Which matches stuck out? We'll start out with a positive. Like, what matches did you like out of all of those?
Let's start from the beginning real quick. It's interesting that they started with Brock Lesnar in the very first match.
Yeah.
And it was fun because they were pretty much going, breaking kayfabe and saying he's going to do the first match because they don't want to stay for the rest of the pay-per-view, which is genius on their part because yeah. It was like six
which, by the way, let's pretend like, you know, I'm the casual today, which I am. For the other casuals that might be listening, what is kayfabe?
Kayfabe is basically like acknowledging that wrestling is predetermined, not fake, but predetermined. And so when they say breaking kayfabe, meaning they're talking about like actual things instead of the facade that you're supposed to create with.
Yeah, so it's like wrestling. Breaking the third wall. Since there's no walls in a wrestling ring, it's like breaking the fourth wall, basically.
Breaking the fourth ring post. Yeah. But as most people know, Brock Lesnar, not a full-time wrestler, but they still put the title on him because he's apparently a big draw. But at the same time, he's a big draw for the UFC.
And yeah, he has a match with Cormier or whatever.
That's what they're trying to imply. In that Cormier, the only reason Cormier still wants to fight is he wants that big payday because he never got one. This is for UFC stuff. And he literally, it's so funny that Daniel Cormier was on Twitter like talking smack about Brock Lesnar. He's like, the champ just lost in 2.5 minutes, which is also spectacular in the fact that Lesnar got squashed again. Yeah. He keeps getting squashed. Like, he lost to Goldberg in less than 3 minutes. And then he loses.
But that's Goldberg.
Yeah. And Seth Rollins is literally half the size of Brock Lesnar.
Wait. Time out real quick. Mm-hmm. Goldberg's still around? Or
well, that was last year.
Yeah.
He lost last year to Lesnar in like 3 minutes. Those guys, you know. Which is kind of what I'll talk about later, in that sometimes when you're old, maybe your matches shouldn't go half an hour. But
nothing about Triple H.
Yeah. Oh. Triple H and Batista. Both of them are 50 years old. That's one of the negatives. Anyways. But you have
so far I've been waiting for a positive
thing. No, it's just that
this is like you reviewing Game of Thrones right now.
Just trying to follow. But like having Seth Rollins has been chasing that title for the past couple of years, and it was nice to see him get that moment right off the bat. And then from there, everything else kind of runs the same. Most of the matches were kind of disappointing, but the tag match was fun because a lot of the guys can actually wrestle. They can work. Ricochet is like a star waiting to be, like, the guy does amazing things.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't wait to watch the guy. But for some reason, the Usos won again. But everybody else was super entertaining. Let's see. I'm glad Randy Orton lost because Randy Orton sucks and nobody likes seeing that guy anymore. The women's tag match is a little sloppy. And I felt bad that Sasha and...
Was that the first match or the second match?
The women's tag match was another four-way.
Yeah, like right in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Okay.
And it was
just... No, but it was the first or second tag match is what I'm asking.
The first tag match was the guys.
So that would be the second is what you're saying?
Yeah.
So it would be a sloppy...
Sloppy seconds.
Match. Got it.
Yeah.
Wow. It took a while to get there, but we got there. We were climbing up there.
I was like, I don't understand what Dennis is trying to imply here.
We're like, rocking up the stairs.
I got there.
Finally got there. But it was like, you know, a lot of my opinion basically is a lot of what could have gone a lot better, and they built the things that they actually built came off really great, especially the fact that they had no real storyline with Daniel Bryan losing. They were literally like a couple of months ago, they were like, oh, we don't have an opponent for Daniel Bryan, and he's like the biggest heel. Mm-hmm. Everybody hates the guy. And out of nowhere, Kofi Kingston like gets lucked into the position, and people are like, they loved him because he did a whole hour match that they didn't remember that he can actually pull off. And then that groundswell began because of that. And then it was like, they kind of turned it where Daniel Bryan was like, yeah, you're not as good, which is a callback to when Daniel Bryan was the underdog.
Right.
And then they kind of did it in the racist terms, which was kind of like a weird thing.
It was like really dangerous.
Yeah, I felt like if they did it incorrectly, it would have been really bad. Like if Kofi had lost, it would have been like, oh, we were right. The reason he lost is because he's inferior in everything.
Yeah,
because
a lot of the, for Dennis the Casual, a lot of the promos, a lot of the stuff that they said is like, they don't make people like us champions. Like, what do you mean people like us?
Yeah. And then
they were the ones saying it?
His team, like the New Day.
Yeah.
Like Big E was really, like Big E is a, like an activist. So he's literally like on Twitter and people are just retweeting the hell out of it. Where a couple of days ago, they happened to have the three main eventers, the females. They were all arrested, and he put a tweet that like blew my mind that they actually let him tweet it. When he was like, "Are they gonna show them in their mugshots, or are they gonna show them in their nice photos?" Because you know, generally when they show people,
yeah, arrested, yeah,
they're arrested. They get the nice photos, but like him and his buddies, you know. So that was just a great. And seeing how, you know, Kofi's been there for so long,
yeah,
deserved it. And his win, that match was actually really good too. Like, Daniel Bryan can do no wrong in wrestling. Like, he does everything believable, especially stepping on people's faces. And, like, that part
of my favorite move. It's so simple. It's
yeah, like... you hold the guy's hands, and then you're looking right at him, and he just stomp on his face. Like, you know, I wish I thought of that. But, you know, and then they have the, everything else is kind of fun. And then they have the main event. And the first time ever they have females main eventing WrestleMania.
I was going to, that's what I was going to ask you that, since I left wrestling, you know, I'm one of those old school, I wouldn't even call myself old school, but older fan where, before this resurgence of women's wrestling where, you know, every single time there was a women's wrestling match that was going to, that was jokingly the bathroom. So right now I've been hearing a lot of, of groundswell for the women. So they, was this intentionally, you think this was something that was pre-planned, or are the two women wrestlers that big of a draw now that they wanted them to be the main eventers for WrestleMania?
I think it was like a great combination of things. Nothing against Ronda Rousey, but kind of like Brock Lesnar. She's like an anomaly. Like, she transcended UFC to the point where, yeah, even casuals would know. Like, I wouldn't pay for a UFC pay-per-view, but I knew who Ronda Rousey was. You know, she ends up on... one of the Fast and Furious movies? She does a couple cameos.
Expendables.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's right. So she wasn't there too. So having her on the roster, you know, like Vince McMahon getting her to sign. Not to mention, yeah, like I said, the other two women are no slouches either. You know, Charlotte Flair, infamously, you know, Ric Flair's daughter, but she can work too. She can legitimately wrestle, sell, and do the work and make everybody else look around her look good. And on the flip side of the Kofi story, Becky Lynch, the third person in this triple threat match, felt like a genuine like groundswell. I keep saying that word, but you know, groundswell of support from people who really just wanted something different. I think there's internet or the wrestling culture is very weird in the sense where like fans are quick to turn around or turn on whomever, you know, the WWE pushes as their champion for the day or for that flavor of the month. You know, same thing kind of happened to Roman Reigns before his leukemia came out. They were being pushed down the throat, like, cheer for Charlotte, cheer for Ronda. And, you know, fans started booing. And then they said, you know what? We like Becky. She was cool. She's got a funky accent. She can fight. She can wrestle. I'm not sure if it's quite as accurate, but you know, people are comparing it to how Stone Cold kind of got his support when people were looking at support. Look at these other guys, and then nobody wanted to. And Stone Cold was in the background, but anyway. So yeah, I think it was. I'm not sure if it was pre-planned. Like, I don't know if you can tell. A year ago, they said, "Yeah, we're gonna WrestleMania 35. Three women are gonna main event." Like, I don't know if that was the plan all the way back then, but definitely, at least if you go by social media, the last few months has been a big push. So yeah, it's a combination of things.
I remember reading last year how the WWE has another wrestler named Asuka, and she's a Japanese wrestler. She was undefeated for the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of the thing, was they're going to keep her undefeated until last year, where she wrestled Charlotte Flair and lost. And people were saying that the only reason she lost is because they were trying to build Charlotte Flair for versus Ronda Rousey a year from now. So this is the person that beat the undefeated person mm-hmm. on one brand, and we have the other person on the other brand where she's like brand new, but you know, she comes from the UFC, so she has that reputation as being untouchable and the baddest woman on the planet, which is what her nickname is. And they were like, Becky's not even part of the plan. Until SummerSlam, where like Charlotte stole a win from Becky, and then Becky like attacked her, and the fans were on her side. And then WWE was like, oh, I think we made a mistake and we backed the wrong person. And for the longest time, it was like, you can main event it, but we don't want to see Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey. We want to see Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch. And then they shoehorn Charlotte Flair in just so that they can have continue that storyline. And then so they had it where the winner would win both the title, the women's SmackDown mm-hmm. title and the women's Raw title. And then it ended up the one that wasn't the champion won both of the titles. So it's like, you know, really good story building for once and actual payoffs, which is something that never happens in wrestling, apparently. Yeah. And it was interesting to see that. The unfortunate thing is, like we said, super long. And getting to each story, you're just exhausted. Like, if you cut out a lot of the, you know, the fluff and a lot of the unnecessary things that nobody wants to see on a pay-per-view and streamline it, and you can have fans, you know, clamoring for more. There were some good skits. I think the best thing that they did was they had old John Cena come back, which was, you remember, you know, that was the John Cena that I fell in love with, obviously, because I did have Dennis here get a padlock and chain with me, and he wore that yesterday, and then our buddy Mooney was like, that's what you dressed up as at WrestleMania when we went. And I was like, yeah, that's the John Cena I love. And then he came out, he rapped, and it was fun for that. But for everything else, it was just like...
He didn't wrestle, he was just there.
No, he was just there to rap.
Oh, wow.
Okay. He did like one move, I think, and that was it.
He did his... When the WWE went PG, he changed the name of the FU to the Attitude Adjustment. And then so last night, he actually said the line where he was like, the Attitude Adjustment is gone for the day. Here's the FU. And it's like, which was always a take on Brock Lesnar's F5. So,
yeah, good times. For me, I think one of my favorite events, actually, that Harold hasn't mentioned, I love the main event. I like the Kofi versus Daniel Bryan, too, for sure. But, you know, for me, the spectacle of Shane McMahon throwing himself and trying to kill himself every WrestleMania is always going to be a fun match for me.
Oh, he's still doing it. Okay,
yeah,
cool. He's still doing it. Cool.
Yeah, one of our fondest memories, like back when, you know, pay-per-views were actually pay-per-views, was when Shane McMahon was thrown by Kurt Angle through glass panes, and the three of us were like, stop it! We're like the Simpsons being like, he's dead already! Stop it! So, yeah, 10, 15 years later, he's still doing it. He's throwing himself off of high places. Thankfully, nowadays, you know, they've kind of...
Yeah, padding was pretty obvious.
They padded, like, you know, they pre-planned the spot. You know, they already padded exactly where Shane and The Miz were going to fall. But, you know, I got a soft spot for these grudge matches that have no titles on the line, no opportunities or nothing. It's just two dudes who legitimately hate each other. And it was just a fun... you know, they're not technical wrestlers. At least, you know, Shane isn't. You know, he's... on Twitter, they joke that he throws these cutesy little rabbit punches that couldn't hurt a fly. And, you know, obviously, The Miz isn't going to try to hurt his boss. But, you know, that was one of my favorite matches just because of the spectacle of it all. Another favorite moment for me was Rey Mysterio actually only had, like, how long was it?
Yeah, like
a
minute? 3 minutes.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that the entrance took longer than the actual match. But, you know, in Rey Mysterio's defense, I believe he was injured. So it's, like, one of those, like, he needs to get a WrestleMania paycheck, so he's going to do a thing and exit out. But my favorite part was the fact that, okay, so Rey Mysterio has a history of dressing up for these big pay-per-views. In WCW, he dressed up as the Phantom, and that's like one of the most famous outfits he's ever had. He's dressed up as a Joker, he's dressed up as Daredevil, he's dressed up all those things. In one of the easiest cosplays ever, Rey Mysterio dressed up as Mysterio from Spider-Man.
It was so good.
It was so good. It was like, oh my god, Jake Gyllenhaal
is having a... You know what's funny is I was with people who didn't understand the reference. So they were like, oh, he's some kind of a reptile. And I was like... He's Mysterio. They go, yeah, Rey Mysterio. I go, no, no. And then they were just, I was like, get it, because like Spider-Man Far From Home is coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
So future reference.
Yeah, you know.
They're just like, huh? I was like, forget it.
So I think it's foreshadowing that you heard it here first. Disney will be buying the WWE. So that was like one of those things like, well, duh, Rey Mysterio definitely has to dress up as Mysterio. Yeah. So yeah, that was one of my favorite moments. And then so on the flip side, Errol, let's go for that. What I know you already kind of talked about what you didn't like about the length of the matches or the event itself, but any matches in particular didn't do anything for you?
I mean, the entrances. Okay, Batista's entrance.
Yeah, let's go into that. Let's talk about Triple H and Batista.
Batista's entrance was epic and awesome because they played off his whole Hollywood persona.
Yeah, yeah.
With a bunch of Escalades coming out, and he comes out to security detail and everything. And then Triple H with a really crappy CGI version of Mad Max Fury Road. Like, the CGI was from 1996, apparently.
Like PlayStation 2.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, this is bad. And then the match proceeded, and it was overly long. They could have done it in, 10 minutes.
Yeah, half of the time, at least.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, or you posted in our chat, the best thing was them removing, Triple H removing Batista's...
nose ring, yeah.
Nose ring with some needle-nose pliers, which, super feasible. And then, I don't know, the whole thing with Triple H going into a toolbox, finding a monkey wrench and trying to, pry Batista's fingers off. Going a little bit too far. And then they were the only ones that got to use the Spanish announce table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's one of those things where Triple H tries really hard to make, WrestleMania his.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, I'm gonna ramp up the violence and everything. And it was just like, you could tell the crowd was A, tired, and B, didn't want to see this thing go too long. Because it was just like, okay, let's get it over with, finish it out, something... You're going to pedigree him somewhere. Let's just do it now,
Let's get to the fireworks station.
Yeah, exactly.
Fireworks station. Firework factory.
And it was like, okay. The night before, people were like, oh, is Batista losing? Is he beating Triple H? And then I was like, oh, Triple H wins. And they're like, no hesitation. I go, no, he doesn't lose to part-timers.
Yeah.
Like, he beat Sting in his WWE WrestleMania debut.
Yeah.
What other jerk would do that besides Triple H? Yeah,
and he beat Brock Lesnar too in one of the pay per
views. Yeah, I mean, anyways, yeah, and so it's like that went overly long. I think it was clocked in at 34 minutes, which is a glacial pace.
Yeah, because Triple H is not really known for the speed of his matches,
and then Batista either. They're more for power, which is what they were going for, the big power moves.
Yeah,
but when everything's really badly done. And one of them is an actor who hasn't wrestled in a few years. And then the other one is Batista. It's really... Yeah, they were going for that big epic match feel. And it just fell short. And it was getting worse and worse by the minute. Yeah. And I was just like... If it was anybody else but Triple H, they would have done the whole wrap it up. But the fact that he's a CEO of WWE and he makes all the big calls, he had to get his shine in.
Yeah, so. Nobody's going to say no to him. Yeah, like you said, I think what killed me is in between those big spots. So oh, we broke the table. It's audibly breathing hard.
Yeah.
You do a spot for half a minute, for 30 seconds, and set up the spot and do it. And then 4 minutes of... oh, Dave is out of wind.
Yeah, Drax is not made for cardio.
No,
he's running after Thanos, it was just well... That's all I got.
That's why Drax just grabbed his leg,
Yeah.
He was not the one jumping around from portal to portal.
See, the
thing
is, Drax would have survived the snap if he had some cardio in his system. But instead, he was stuck there. He was like, oh, man, got to sell this.
All right. Last question then. Match of the night or moment of the night. What moment of the night for you?
For me, it was the realization that WrestleMania was yesterday.
I mean the Kofi thing is great, but literally for me the match of the weekend was on NXT.
Oh yeah,
Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano, who I had talked about previously as being my favorite wrestler. Now he did it again. The guy does nothing but 5-star matches on pay per view or on takeover shows, and he literally, it was so good. The culmination of him winning the championship, I freaking teared. And it's unless you're the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth is popping out of nowhere, which we could talk about later, I'm not crying at wrestling things. And I was like, dang it. He got me. He literally got me. I was like, he's killing. And then, like, his wife came. I don't know. Anyways, good stuff.
Good stuff. For me, I think I'm going to have to be the casual here. And I think seeing
you, can't be the casual. Oh, okay, you can be the super
mid-casual. you know, I love when Kofi finally won and seeing him celebrate with his buddies and having his sons jump into the ring. I thought it was genuinely, like, a really genuinely sweet and earned moment for him. So, good for him. You know, it's going to be one of those highlight reel things where hopefully, you know, what, 20 years later, we still have that image of HBK in the middle of the ring when he beat Bret Hart for his first championship, you know, holding that title in his ring and crying. Hopefully, you know, in the future, that'll be in the highlight reel of the WWE where they can show Kofi in the middle of the ring with his two sons and his two best friends celebrating with, you know, what is basically the peak of the business and having that title in his hands. So, yeah, that's my favorite.
And that could have been us, guys. We could have been the New Day.
Three guys just having fun and trumpets.
I mean, tights on us, maybe, I guess.
All right. Well, so that wraps it up for the WrestleMania 35 review. Do you think people should watch it or take time for it?
No. No. If you have the network or if you ever get a copy of it, there's a lot of filler you can skip out on. Go to the four-way tag match for the guys. Go to Kofi versus Daniel.
Yeah.
And then watch Becky Lynch. Just because it's a great, you know, triumphant moment for not just for her, but for women's wrestling.
Yeah, so. That's true. I will echo what Harold said. Just skip a lot of the filler. A lot of the stuff is forgettable. But actually, yeah, going back to NXT, definitely check out Cole versus
just watch NXT TakeOver New York, like 2019 in general, because it is all awesome.
Yeah, I'm tempted to show Dennis this because even if you don't know who Cole is and Gargano, I think they tell such a great story in the ring for a three falls match.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Like Lewis said on Twitter, it was basically Shawn Michaels wrestling Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
oh, wow. Okay.
Which if you can appreciate that, it's pretty damn good.
It's like if HBK was Superman, it was like Superman Blue and Superman Red. Yeah,
yeah. Both Supermen suck,
but they still wrestle each other.
It was awesome. All right, so the next part of our conversation, I think, Dennis, I'm going to throw it back to you. You had some ideas about WrestleMania moments that you guys want to
talk about? Yeah, because I feel kind of left out where I'm just like throwing out random things just to stay relevant.
I'm part of the team today, guys.
Please. So, you know, as I said, I am a very lapsed wrestling fan. So, you know, we were kind of talking about it, and since it is WrestleMania, why don't we take a look at previous WrestleManias, things that we actually watched, things that we actually enjoyed, you know, and moments, maybe matches that we felt was very, very important in our wrestling experience.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, I'll go first. Go ahead. I believe it was WrestleMania 17. The main event was Austin versus The Rock.
Yes, it was.
And Austin versus The Rock, it started off, I still remember watching it. I forget where I was watching it, but Mooney's it was Mooney's house, most likely. Shout out to Mooney's house. To Mooney also, I guess. But definitely Mooney's house. And so, if I remember that right, there was one of those things where it was reversals galore. Yeah. You know, it started off with a sharpshooter where somebody slapped on a sharpshooter and they were able to reverse that sharpshooter. Austin was able to, wrap a $1 million dream, and then, I believe The Rock was able to put in a stunner on him. And it was just like back and forth. And that was when, in the middle of the whole thing, and this was when Austin, it was peak Austin.
So yeah, yeah.
It was The Rock was kind of climbing.
It was already almost at Austin level.
Yeah, and so this was peak Austin, and then in the middle of the whole match, Vince McMahon interrupts. And at that, the first time he interrupts, you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, and the match continues. And then all of a sudden, the big reveal that it turns out that Austin is now working for Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon hands Austin a chair to go after The Rock. And I still remember my jaw dropping. I was like, you know, I was so into Austin that I was like, no. They're not gonna do it dirty like this. And then all of a sudden it happens, like, oh my god, that was the best turn I've seen, like, ever. You know, and so for me, the match itself was entertaining. You know, The Rock versus Austin. Yeah. It's always going to be an entertaining a match. It was really aggressive. It, a lot of moments that we still remember, but it was just that visual of Austin and Austin and Vince McMahon kind of smiling at each other. You're like,
shaking hands.
Where am I? What has happened to the world?
Yeah. Good pull. One of my favorite main events, actually, I'm going to, you know, kind of go the same tangent as Dennis, would have to be WrestleMania. I have to look it up. 14. It was Stone Cold versus HBK. That was one of the first pay-per-views I think I ever saw with my cousins before in high school. Definitely one of the best ones in the sense that, like, it was, I guess, kind of like reflecting, you know, this last pay-per-view or this last WrestleMania. It was Austin's first title win. Beating HBK with Mike Tyson in ringside, so it was a big spectacle. So you know, these WrestleMania events, that's what Vince is shooting for. Is besides, you know, giving a good match, he also wants to put in the spectacle. So that was one of those where it's like, again, it kind of like all the stars align, where, you know, Mike Tyson was still a hot commodity and everybody talked about him. Austin was had this great groundswell of support from the fans, and HBK was, unfortunately, I think he was on his way out with injury, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But at least he put on his shoes, like he put on his working boots. I mean, and he, you know, he made Austin look like $1 million. He sold, you know, when I say sold, that means, you know, you want to show the how hurt you are or whatnot, or to make somebody else look good. He sold for Austin so well to make it look like the stunner, you know, killed him. But yeah, so one of my favorite WrestleMania events.
Might as well go in the Austin triumvirate over here. But my favorite, probably my second favorite match of all time, was at WrestleMania 13. And Dennis talked about how there was his favorite turn ever. My favorite turn ever was at WrestleMania 13.
Oh,
Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. Bret Hart, the ever-loving babyface, my favorite wrestler, against this, you know, upstart villain that nobody liked. Uh-huh. But at the same time, everyone was like, he's pretty cool. He's like coming in, he's like beating people up and then just leaving. And they have Ken Shamrock as the guest referee. And then the whole thing is great because it's a no-holds-barred match. And it's literally Austin beating the crap out of Bret Hart. And then Bret Hart does my favorite move, which is the ring post figure four, where he wraps Austin's leg around the thing, and
Know how much that hurts, but it looks great.
I honestly tried it on one of my buddies. Jeez, dude. It did not work out too well for him, but it was hilarious for me because I was basically doing a handstand, but holding the figure. Sorry, bro. You don't listen to my podcast, so I can talk about you. But his name is Joel. But thing that the most iconic moment of all time is you have Austin choking Bret Hart with a cable, and then right when, you know, you think Bret Hart's about to pass out of nowhere, Bret Hart grabs the ring bell, swings it backwards, and hits Austin in the face, and Austin starts bleeding everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And then he just beats on him, and the crowd is like, they're not too sure about Bret Hart anymore. They're like, why is he so bloodlust, you know what's wrong with him? And he keeps pounding on the cut. And then, out of nowhere, you know, he slaps a sharpshooter on Austin. And Austin is, like, not wanting to give up. This is before the tap out. Ken Shamrock was the one who invented the tap out for WWE. And you have Austin trying to wrench out of it. And he does that move where he's, you know, he arches his back. And all of a sudden, that move has all this blood pouring down his face. And that's the most iconic photo of Stone Cold Steve Austin ever. And he never gives up. Mm-hmm. He passes out in the sharpshooter, and Ken Shamrock is like, dude, he's done. And then he tries to push Bret off, but Bret doesn't want to give up. And then so that's when Bret Hart goes from, you know, everyone's favorite to the least loved man in all of wrestling. And Austin becomes, you know, from the heel to the babyface, all in one perfect double turn. And, like, the unfortunate thing about the Bret Hart DVD is the audio sync is off. So it's like you see someone get thrown, and then all of a sudden you hear "bat" a half second later, which made me angry for the longest time until the network came, and then I was like, okay, I can watch this.
Oh, they fixed it? Okay.
But then the problem is with the network, sometimes they blur the blood.
See, that's what I was going to ask. I was about to pull it up today, or right now, now that you reminded me. But now, yeah, like you said,
I don't remember if that one in particular they do, but for some time, you know.
I know the WWE has gone total PG. You know, yeah. They're trying to sell to a younger demographic, and you know, the Crimson Mask, as they used to call it, is not something that I think they're going to want to...
Wait, so they took out all Mick Foley's matches?
Oh, I know, right? Well,
where he's smiling and
they still show that moment because he's not bleeding. He's only bleeding internally, so it's not that bad. You know?
So like half of the Ric Flair stuff is gone.
Yeah, Ric Flair is like, you got to watch his old...
Half of his early WCW stuff is gone.
There's no more blood in the beach blonde hair anymore of Ric Flair. It's just.
My next one. Actually, no. Going back to your sorry. I'm just trying to remember that the mask, that Crimson Mask, as you called it, and I you know, now that I think about it, because I was trying to remember if that was a WrestleMania moment, because that was the one that I liked Austin. Like, I thought he was pretty cool, but that was the one where I was like, oh my God, like my respect for him as like a you know, as a worker, you know, as a wrestler, really like it increased like twofold, just seeing that whole thing where I don't know. I know it's a storyline, but it was just him not giving up. It was already the sharpshooter. Yeah. It was the ultimate move. Everybody knew it, and he was able to just kind of like not shrug it off, but he was able to go fight it. You know, and I agree. It is. I might have to reconsider greatest turn, but at least both turns included Austin, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
My next one would be. The reason why I enjoyed it a lot is because I was there. Oh. Harold was there.
I was?
And other people were there.
Which one was this one?
This was the Dudley Boys. Matt Hardy. And Edge and was it Edge and Christian?
Yeah,
the TLC match
very first ladder match,
the very very first ladder match. Now, first and foremost,
I heard it was all right.
No, 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 it was. You had to have been there.
And the reason why we're talking about it is Lewis infamously.
No, this one's different because this is when we barely knew Lewis. Because he was a freshman when that was going on. Because
upperclassmen don't hang out with.
Yeah, well, we already had established friendships for a good couple of years.
It was WrestleMania 2000.
Yeah, because if you were a freshman in 99, that means we only had like 6 months to have known him, and we didn't. You know, we don't let people in that quickly.
That's what he said.
But one of the reasons why I love that match was that it was the first time where they actually started like building. It was almost like a Lego thing where they started building, like, you know, like platforms on the platform with chairs, with tables and ladders and all these things. I remember there was one spot, and I completely blanking out right now who did it, but pretty much everything collapsed underneath him, and that was the first time ever in a wrestling match where I was like, I think he's dead. You know, like all the other times I've watched wrestling, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing, that's great. Even Mick Foley, you know, getting dropped by was it Undertaker, where he falls completely through the cage. I remember watching that. I was like, oh my God, he's hurt. But this was first time where it was like, oh my God, I think they're dead. Just the spectacle of people. It was carnage. You know, if there's any other word that you can come up with, that was it. And I remember sitting there going, I'm so glad I saw this.
I saw it on DVD eventually. Damn it.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Shut up. Don't patronize me, man. Okay, for me, speaking of spectacle, I'm going to go off of this one. One of my favorite ones would be WrestleMania 18, The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. It was not at all a technical classic in any sense. There were no like fancy moves. If you're a wrestling fan, you know that Hulk Hogan's basic moves are the back rake, atomic drop, which is basically a knee to your coccyx, and you know, a body slam and a leg drop. And you know, The Rock, for you know, as much as famous as he is, he's got like three or four moves too. A couple of fancy punches. He spits into his hand for a punch, so that's a little variation right there. He's got the people's elbow, and then he's got the Rock Bottom, which is basically just you know, a fancy way of tripping him, right?
Was that Icon versus Icon?
Yes, yeah. That was the big Icon versus Icon. Nothing was on the line. There was no titles. There was no
bragging rights. Except for Bride,
yeah. Yeah, exactly, except for bragging rights. So, you know, at the time, the whole storyline was that the NWO is folded back into the WWF at the time. And yeah, so the two biggest icons of the 80s and Hulk Hogan versus the biggest guy back then in the 2000s in The Rock. And it was great.
The Panda.
Was there a panda?
The WWF.
The lawyers of the pandas. The panda lawyers won. it it was not technical at all. It was just a lot of punches and kicking. But the crowd at the time and us watching, again, shout out to Mooney and his house. us watching it there, we're just
like, Mooney's house and Mooney.
And Mooney too. We were just, going nuts watching this. And nostalgia ran wild. And, we were rooting for Hulk Hogan to pull off the win for whatever reason. Just because, the guys, both The Rock and Hulk Hogan, played the roles perfectly. Getting the crowd incited and literally for every small thing they did, Hulk Hogan hulking up to The Rock, and then The Rock, stealing some his belt and Hogan's belt, and whipping him with his own weight belt. It was just nuts. So, definitely a fun match, not a technical one, but one of my favorites.
One of my favorite moments there, as you said, it was Hogan hulking out. And yeah. We all know The Rock is an amazing actor.
Yeah.
And he sold that so completely, dude.
I've never seen the leg drop look so lethal in the back. Like, it literally looked like it decapitated the Rock. Sitting on his butt.
His whole body, like, his neck was there. It was like
he did a sit-up.
He did a sit-up with his neck.
Yeah. And I was like, dude. Maybe the leg drop is lethal. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's a Rock for you. That's why he's making billions of dollars just to act in movies now. Good for you, Dwayne.
And every so often do a wrestling move.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to remind us, hey,
remember
my lines.
I'm raising the Scorpion King.
When he did the Rock Bottom on Star Trek Discovery, was it? No. What was it? I forget which
Star Trek. DS9 or?
He was on Star Trek?
Yeah, and he did the Rock Bottom on Star Trek.
Why have I not seen it?
You, of all people.
I know. That's like an intersection of my worlds, and I would have passed out and died at that point, dude.
We'll look it up after this is done. My next favorite WrestleMania moment.
I'm checking that out right now. Go ahead. I'm listening.
One of my favorite WrestleMania moments is WrestleMania 21.
I know that one too.
WrestleMania 21. Remember that then? Yeah. You were on the other side of me.
Yeah.
On the you had a private suite.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I don't remember how I got that. Shout out to Jerry. It was Jerry, I forget. One of them did.
No, Jay how got is the ticket.
How is he gone to a WrestleMania? Okay,
so the reason that Lewis got mad at that was the fact that even though it was his twin sister's boyfriend/fiance, our boy invited his now brother-in-law instead of inviting Lewis. And he sold that grudge for 15 years now.
Still here.
But the only reason I say it's fun is because I was with our buddy Mooney. Thank you. This should be
his house was not there.
His house was not there because me and him were at WrestleMania.
At Staples
Center. And it was awesome because that was the first ever Money in the Bank match. And they had never debuted that.
Damn it.
And that one spot with Shelton Benjamin running up this little... Wait, first of all, when Kane entered and he did his caning, the ladder's lit on fire. And me and Winnie were like, dude, the ladders are on fire. Look, we can care less of anything else. But this is awesome. And then, Shelton Benjamin did that one spot, which is still one of my favorite spots of all time. Him doing a running clothesline after just running up the... It's amazing that Shelton never got anything bigger than that. But, yeah, and then later on in the night, Batista won his very first title.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were holding up a Filipino flag because he's half of us. And he pointed at
half
us.
Half of us.
I think he pointed in our general direction. As in, I think
well,
I...
whole section R.
Yeah. Then he's just like, you guys are like this?
No.
I mean, it wasn't as cool as, somebody over here slapping John Cena on the back.
Oh, yeah, that's going to go on our Facebook.
Unfortunately, it wasn't WrestleMania. It is
whatever, dude.
It still counts. It still counts, I guess. As much as we talk about the whole WrestleMania experiences, which were fantastic, and once in a lifetime, it'll never happen.
It'll never happen. No.
Yeah, it's never going to happen, especially twice.
Yeah.
Until it comes back to Los Angeles, probably in 21, but... I mean,
and most likely he's gonna have something.
Yeah, something's gonna happen. We'll take his son.
Okay.
No, yeah, Noah loves wrestling.
Yeah,
he's gladly going.
Like the thing that was always nice about that one moment, not a WrestleMania moment, but still a great wrestling moment, is the fact that we were slapping John Cena on the back when he was in our section. But the only one who got significant camera time is Lewis over here.
And do we know why?
Because he was the one that, like, he snuck over to the side.
No, he pushed me aside.
He pushed you and elbowed your brother.
Yeah.
It was my moment. I saw the brass ring, man.
You can still see my face kind of like half a second I was like happy, and all of a sudden Lewis
we'll post the video because it's still hilarious to us, but in the video you see me and I think Anthony, but we're looking at Tina like you could see our eyes light up, and then
because he's walking up the aisle.
That's when he's walking.
Yeah.
And then you can see him when he's walking up the. You can see us when he's walking up the aisle. But literally, when the camera pans to just John Cena, the rest of us just disappear, and you see this guy like holding it, like yeah.
Which, by the way, you might not know, might recognize. It was a skinny Lewis.
Yes, it was
still wearing yellow.
It was like 50-pound lighter Lewis. I only had one chin back then. Anyway, shout out to John Cena.
We love you.
Any other moments that you can think of before we wrap up this episode?
That's all I can think of. WrestleMania is one of those weird once-a-year things where, like, you turn into fanboys. The rest of the 11 months, it'll be okay. Like, we'll be... Yeah. I'll casually check Twitter or, you know, if I... I actually re-upped the subscription to the WWE Network just for the WrestleMania. Because after Christmas, it's like, it's kind of a dead time.
Yeah, you don't really want to.
Yeah.
Unless you're watching TakeOvers.
Yeah, I mean, it starts off, I guess, like around Royal Rumble time, which is January. And then those 4 months, it gets kind of ramped up. And then after this, it'll kind of calm down. I'll listen, like I said, I'll check Twitter. The WWE Twitter is kind of fun sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I would argue that wrestling Twitter and basketball Twitter are the only two Twitters that are positive. It's good times.
Like I professed before, my love for WrestleMania 3, because it was the first videotape wrestling event that I had, and I watched that consistently, still watch it on DVD. And then, you know, the Undertaker streak, but the one from that's my favorite from there is Taker versus Shawn Michaels the very first time. That match is probably my third favorite WrestleMania match of all time, besides Macho Man and Randy Savage, and then, like I talked about earlier, Austin and Bret Hart. Like, those are the three matches in WWF, WWE, I can watch, like, you know, on a rotating basis and not ever get bored with them.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. If you have any suggestions, or maybe we missed a moment, or maybe we're just completely off base, please give us a text message. Hold on. An Instagram.
You can creep in our DMs.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever. I still don't know how this thing works. Which, by the way, I have a completely legitimate question about tweeting later after this episode. So, again, that's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode today. As usual, please like us. You know, I've been for the love of God, we've been begging you to rate and review us. So if you're on iTunes,
said rate, right?
Rate. I mean, as long as you give us a 5-star, whether or not,
do whatever
you want, as long as it's a 5-star. We are that callous of our, as long as we get a 5-star. You can check us out at 2fanboys1casual.com. That's our website where we have our articles, and I actually did one. I'm really proud of myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we, of course, have the backlog of all our episodes, all 78 so far. Wow. This is going to be 70-something. I forget. I can't count.
All right. On Facebook, it's 2Fanboys and A Filthy Casual. Just plug that in the search box where we will post whenever our podcast goes live, share any fun articles and pictures that we find online, and share it there.
And then on Twitter and on Instagram at @2fanboys1casual.
That's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
All right, brothers.
I know. Haley, remember when we went to WrestleMania?
Shut up. Dan,
remember when we went to WrestleMania
twice? I do.
How many times?
Maybe twice. How many times compared to Lewis?
All right, time to wrap it up. Let's go.